This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 4th of July, 1959. The title of this lecture is HAS Co-Audit. This lecture is 50 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
Thank you. Well, we got a Congress. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. Remember when we used to do that?
Yes.
Let's see if we can shake up the rafters a little bit. Hello.
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 All right, now there are two or three people who haven't said hello yet, and I feel real upset. Let's try it again. Hello.
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 Good, you made it. You made it. Also, we have some other things that we made here. Now, usually at a Congress, we generally get a lot of cables, one kind or another, and this Congress is no exception at all. And, you know, Scientology is getting more and more international. It is probably the one organization which, with good intentions, has no boundaries. And it's very amusing to run into a Scientologist in Europe. They're getting all mishmashed. Australians are marrying South Africans, and Americans are marrying South Africans, and South Africans are hobnobbing with New Zealanders, and we counted 16 nationalities in Hazy London. That was on staff, 16 nationalities. And, you know, none of them had found out about it. Everybody's working on us to insist that the world is full of boundaries and barriers. And Scientologists haven't noticed any. We just had a Scientologist come through Customs, New York. She took off very suddenly from London because you needed her here. They stamped her visa so that it expired 2 days before it was granted. Forgot to vaccinate her. A lot of other things. Of course, obviously, it'd be impossible for her to get in the country. So she landed up in New York, and they said, "What's that?" And she said, "That's an e-meter." And the customs and immigration officers said, "Well, what's it do?" So she broke it out of the case. About 30 people stacked up behind her waiting to come through. Broke it out of the case, handed it to them. Said, "All right, now do you like your wife?" And it went wham. Says, "See you." "See, you don't like your wife." And he said, that's right, by golly, you know. And she put the rest of them on the cans and read the meter on them and that sort of thing. And so they stamped her as okay in the country for a year and vaccination okay and so forth. And they're all writing in now to get some books from us. Scientologists don't recognize international barriers, that's all. That's all. We have these cables. Very best wishes to Ron, staff, and all Congress attenders for the Theta Clear Congress staff in London. Best wishes for the Congress, Hazy Auckland. Happy Congress, Melbourne. Ron, all our good wishes for a fine Congress and flourishing HAS courses throughout America. Love, HCO staff, South Africa. Ron, hope you have a wonderful Congress and that HAS Co-Audit is fully appreciated. It's paying off well in case gains in South Africa, and field practices are growing fast. Love, staff, South Africa. We mentioned something in the last lecture that we immediately had one of you knew something about. We mentioned Carl Menninger, and I got this note, I take full responsibility for this. You know, I'm not responsible for it as the general MC statement on something like this. I take full responsibility for this. I think we've gotten most of the reporters out of the hall. We had them at the beginning. I'm getting so I don't care what I tell them. Probably the only man in America that would tell reporters the total and absolute truth. Now, according to this little note that was handed up here, why manager couldn't do something to help his best friend from Puerto Rico. And he'd been working on it for about 5 years, and he couldn't do anything to help this poor fellow. And one of our auditors fixed him up in 25 hours a few weeks ago. I'm really very happy to see you people again. The general status and existence of Scientology at this particular time occasionally seems sort of nostalgic, because we've been plowing up the track here for about 10 years. Some people believed what I told them, they're here. Some people didn't, they're not. That doesn't prevent you from going back and digging them out, but it's a bit of sadness here and there where they fell away. Lots of able, strong people, however, have moved in to more than take their places, and our ranks are much larger today than they have ever been. But it is particularly gratifying that those ranks include so many people who started from scratch, absolute scratch. There are people here who have been here since Dianetics, Evolution of a Science, Astounding Science Fiction, in the spring of 1950. And that's been a long road. But I think you'd say it's been an interesting road. It has had its moments, I think you will agree. It's had its dead spots and its bogs, but somehow or another we kept on going forward. Somehow or another, why, we marched over the various obstacles which presented themselves, got up to a point finally where we could walk through them, and are at a point now where there couldn't be any. Life looks pretty good right at this particular moment. We have many things. We have many riches. Amongst these riches is actually a formula for clearing the United States. And I think you would be interested in this formula, wouldn't you? All right, let's talk about it. If individual auditors were required to do all of the processing that was done, I don't think we'd make it. It'd require too many individual auditors. And although once in a blue moon people say, well, Scientologists, they're not this and they're not that, the funny part of it is they are probably the upper 10% of the upper 10% of the people of the United States in terms of capability and ability. And as you go downstairs from this point, you see the upper 10% of the upper 10% can make mistakes. You can still make mistakes. And as we go down from this point, the amount of confusion that can be introduced by a person, the amount of upset and mishmash which can occur as a result of an attempt, rules out individual auditing as a method of clearing the United States. It just rules it out, that's all. We could almost do it with the crew we have on hand at this time. Almost do it with this plan, this particular plan of operation called HAS co-audit. Now, HAS co-auditing is something brand new in the field of Scientology and Dianetics, and it is something very, very new, bright and shiny in the world at large, And all manner of methods could be devised to talk about it, which is one of the things which makes it very saleable and makes sure that the idea will reach rather easily. But probably the most careless and colloquial method of talking about it would be to call it do-it-yourself processing. Of course, every old somebody hearing that, every old boy that used to indulge in self-processing would say, well, now, we got it made, self-processing, well, we'll self-process it. Well, that isn't what it is. That isn't what it is. Do-it-yourself processing is where an individual can come into a group and under the very, very exact supervision of a professional auditor who makes sure that this doesn't go off the rails, can then take another person in the group and bring him up the line with considerable rapidity. Now, that takes some doing. That takes some doing. It takes a doingness which must look and must be on its surface so simple, so easy, so effortless, that you can be absolutely sure there's a tremendous amount behind it. HAS co-audit has many component parts, and these component parts come first and foremost with the invention of a brand new kind of auditing called muzzled auditing. Muzzled auditing, that's a brand new thing. Been around some months, most of you have heard about it one way or the other, but I doubt there are very many people present except perhaps the instructors at the academy or the director of training, a few people that are here that were in the last ACC, either in the U.S. or London, that really have any inkling of this, and I would say that the instructors of the academy, the DT, myself, probably the only ones that know this thing in its purest extremity. That how muzzled can muzzled auditing be, and what do we really mean by muzzled auditing? Now, there's many things that you could call muzzled auditing. There's many abbreviations of auditing that you could call muzzled auditing. Basically, what does it mean? It means that the auditor is not permitted to ARC break the preclear. You see, as I said, the upper 10% of the upper 10%, I was talking about people who were bright, wanted to get a show on the road, and so forth. These people naturally would introduce less confusion into a session than as you go downstairs into the field of aberration. You see this? Naturally, the people at the top would introduce less confusion than the people who are on down the line. So, as you go on down the line and reach lower and lower levels in which this is going to be practiced, you have to apply stronger and stronger muzzles. Because the confusion which is being introduced into the session by the quote auditor, unquote, can become too great for the preclear to even vaguely bear up against. And nobody would ever get any better with processing at all. No processing would occur. Because the worse off, the less educated, the less bright, the less this, the less that, that people are, the more confusion they tend to introduce into any given sphere of activity. And auditing is first and foremost. You sit down, John Jones, to audit Bill Smith. And if John Jones, okay, he's a pretty good man, he's pretty clear-cut, he's pretty bright-eyed and so forth, you probably wouldn't have to muzzle him with a club and a strap and a wire mesh and all of that sort of thing. He possibly could get along being permitted to do or say certain things that John Jones dug up from the backwoods of Keokuk didn't have much reach, didn't have much familiarity, kind of stupid, socially very poorly accomplished, and so on. We put this John Jones up against that Bill Smith, and this John Jones, boy, boy, the muzzle that has to be applied to him is a foot in between his shoulder blades, you see, and a steel gag over him, and the gag is let off just long enough for him to get out the command. Okay? And you let it off just long enough for him to get out the command. Boy! Boy! Do you have to apply control and muzzle to that session? And now let's go down to the state institution or the front office of Menninger or somebody, and let's pick a couple of psychos at random. How muzzled do you think that could be? Is it possible to do it? Is there a type of muzzled auditing adequate to that situation? Oddly enough, there is. But man, if you thought you had to apply it to the second Smith we were talking about, the second Smith, if you thought you had to apply a muzzle there, what must you have to apply to a psychotic? Boy, that's muzzle, exclamation point, steel mesh, wire cage, straight jacket, and so forth. There, you would have to muzzle to the extent of not permitting them to suddenly reach out or strike or kick the pre-clear. See, it'd just have to be muzzled not only vocally, but you'd have to muzzle it physically. But you know that you could still get it done. It's fantastic, man's actual, basic, inherent willingness to cooperate in the direction of order where his reactive bank is being totally introductive of disorder. It's a marvelous thing to watch. And as you go downscale in the muzzled character of muzzled auditing, you, of course, are depending more and more upon that spark, which is less and less and less, and they're surrounded by more and more reactivity, and you're really fishing them up from the bottom of a very, very deep and confused well. It's got a maelstrom in the bottom of it, and you're fishing them up all the way. And you've got to find that spark of goodness, willingness, and decency in the co-auditors, and somehow or other keep that alive, and you cooperate with it, and you do that by applying a muzzle. Now, muzzled auditing, then, is not a thing which is instantly and at once described in one breath. It's a gradient thing. A session is muzzled to the degree that there exists an impulse on the part of the auditor's reactive bank to enter disorder into the session. Got that? And now what you muzzle is the reactive bank, not that spark of decency in the auditor, you see? So it has to be done with total control and total ARC. Smile as you sit on his chest. Just let him know that you're not mad at him. You're just sitting on his chest so he can get out the next auditing command to his pre-clear. So that the public view of muzzled auditing would be a rather narrow thing. It'd be the idea that, well, you weren't supposed to say anything else than the auditing command and then an acknowledgement. This is all you're supposed to say, and this is all you're supposed to do, and that's all there is to it, and there's nothing else you'd have to do to control the session. How many ways and how many varieties of emotion can be introduced into an auditing command? You can say, do fish swim? Or you can say, do fish swim? Or you can say, do fish swim? You can mis-emotionalize this thing all over the place. Now, at higher levels of muzzled auditing, when the pre-clear receives the auditing command, when pre-clear receives the auditing command and responds to the auditing command, you simply repeat the auditing command. But when the pre-clear doesn't apparently receive it and doesn't still have it, you could permit the auditor to say, I will repeat the auditing command. That's a very pretty high-level session. See, I repeat the auditing command. And the pre-clear would then answer up. But do you know on lower-level sessions you can't do that? Do you know that a very aberrated auditor can use, I will repeat the auditing command to break the auditor's code? It's the most marvelous thing you ever heard. Who would have dreamed it? I didn't ever dream of it until I saw it a few times. It was fantastic. He uses it to prevent an acceptance of the preclear's answer. He does it this way. Do fish swim? The preclear says yes. He says, I'll repeat the auditing command. Do fish swim? Preclear says, well, yes, they do. I'll repeat the auditing command. Do fish swim? Get how the disorder can be introduced simply by the allowance of that little extra motion. Now, in a higher level thing, when the preclear says, you know, I'm feeling a lot better, you can permit, in muzzled auditing, the auditor to nod. On a lower level session, you can't. You have to make him ignore it, because he can turn a nod into some interesting things. He can say, and you've got to restrain them from even acknowledging with a nod. So you see, there are degrees of muzzled auditing. And this all follows clearing, which I just talked to you about. The more a person is capable of order, the freer he is. Very odd, but it's true. The freer he is, and the less confusion he introduces into any given situation. So the freer a person is, the more freely he can audit. But the more strapped in he is with a reactive bank and disorders and upsets of various kinds, the less freedom you can permit him in auditing. And it goes in that exact ratio. Now, where an individual then simply stumbles in off the street into an HAS co-auditing setup, you've got to hold it at the level practiced by people who can at least stumble in off the street. And that's a certain level of restraint. And it's probably saying the auditing command and nodding. But no more. No more. No permitting him to repeat the auditing command. And every time something else has to be done, the person who is, quote, auditing puts out his hand for the instructor in back of his chair. Instructor comes up, resolves the situation. If the hand appears too often, muzzle the hand. Now, an HAS co-audit is an activity, then, where a skilled professional auditor, taking people who are totally uneducated in Scientology, puts them through a series of communication drills. And putting them through a series of communication drills then involves them, engages them in a co-auditing activity. The co-auditing activity consists of the group originally recruited being divided up and originally trained on the communication auditing drills, HAS course, divided up into two. And each evening, three evenings a week, each one giving an hour and receiving an hour of processing. And that is the exact drill. But that is carried forward and is possible solely, totally, and only, simply and utterly, because the individual in charge is a skilled professional. Now, that's the only reason it goes forward. Now, if you think that muzzled co-auditing can exist in the absence of a skilled professional, ask John Jones, who I was just talking about having to be put in a straitjacket or something of the sort, to get a bunch of people together and get them to utter auditing commands and get them answered. And boy, will he introduce confusion into the co-audit. Wow! Nobody will get any place. Nobody will get any place at all. It takes a skilled professional capable of running very good 8C on a group and on his toes all the time to run a co-audit. The truth of the matter is, those people are not auditing each other. This is a misnomer. The truth of the matter is, the skilled professional is auditing upwards to 20, 30, 40 people simultaneously without auditing them in group. Now, we think of this as brand new and something we never heard of before, But truth be told, it was the first kind of auditing I did. Way back in 1947, I had so many pre-clears stacked up, I didn't know what to do with them, so I'd find an engram, get them started, and I'd put one sitting alongside of a couch in an anteroom, telling the other one to continue on through to the engram or go back to the beginning, and I would keep an eye on this while starting some more engrams someplace else. You know those people won this way? That's how I accumulated as many case histories as I accumulated. Do you talk about muzzled? I didn't have any phrase or description for it. Believe me, that was muzzled. I used to say to one of them that had slipped from grace and let the guy slide out of it, something like that, or do something else without letting me know about it. I used to say, well, throw you in birth. Want to go through birth again? Always ran birth last, you know. Want to roll through birth again? Well, just make one more mistake. And I got an awful lot of auditing done, a tremendous number of hours. But actually, those people were not auditing those people at all. The early Dianetic auditing, done without drills and that sort of thing, was sometimes successful in the hands of one, was successful in the hands of one person, be totally unsuccessful in the hands of another person. Another person just couldn't cope. Anything under God's green earth would happen. That was just the ability of the individual to introduce order and to get disorder out of a session. And the more susceptible an individual was to introducing disorder into the session, the more susceptible he was, the more disorderly the session, and the less benefit came from auditing. Now, I really never noticed auditing caving anybody in, even disorderly auditing. I suppose here and there somebody managed it. But ordinarily, any auditing was better than no auditing. Nevertheless, those people who were able to introduce order of a high order into the session got tremendous results and made clears, even through 50, 51, 52, 53. They were able still to do this. They were following this same regimen. I was as successful as I was because I was actually auditing the people on a via, a direct via. And that was muzzled auditing, but I never described it, not even to myself. This was just an expedient by which I could get a lot of auditing done. And when I dreamed up muzzled auditing in the first place, I was fascinated that it was not dreamed up out of this early 1947 sequence. After we'd been at it for I don't know how many days in the 21st American, I think, or somewhere in that vicinity, after we'd been at it for a long time, I suddenly remembered, gee, this looks familiar. Sure looks familiar. Oh, for golly's sakes, 1947, we used to do something like this. All right. It worked then, slightly different basis. I used to find an engram and steer it through, and when it got pretty sticky and tough and needed a lot of kicking along or coaching, something of that sort, when this was necessary, well, I'd get in there and do a lot of auditing myself, you see. Well, that isn't what's done in muzzled auditing. All the professional in charge of the group does is assess and find the buttons to be run on the case and then makes very, very sure that an orderly process command is run repetitively on the case, and the case keeps coming along that wise. And if the case gets into severe difficulty or something like that, he just puts more pressure on the co-auditor to handle the disorder. In other words, he never steps in, really. He would himself have demonstrated himself being incapable of order on this broad a scale if he had to step in on a session that had gone so far wrong that it wouldn't resolve just with a repetitive auditing command. You see what I'm talking about? So here we have an interesting thing. We are bringing people up to a point where they could be trained as auditors rather readily and rather speedily. This is looked upon now and is the first stage of broad clearing, HAS co-audit. The first stage of education of an auditor is, of course, when he reads the first book or listens to the first Scientologist talk to him. That's his first stage in education. But his first formal education comes about at the level of Hubbard Apprentice Scientologist, when he's sitting there just going through some very brief drills, which are actually very much shorter than the actual communication course drills. You see, these really aren't communication course drills. Communication course drills are much stronger than this. That's his first formal education. He passes into a co-auditing unit, and in a co-auditing unit has his case assessed, and by co-auditing attains a state of release, which is the state immediately below clear. Now, there is some possibility that I'll get smart enough and hot enough to boot this type of an activity all the way up. But if you did that, you would have to get terribly selective on who you left in there in that unit. You would only be able to take people who had attained a very, very good state of release. Only those people. Now, could you go all the way with a co-auditing unit? That's an unanswered question. Up to this point, the answer is no. Somewhere up along the line, the individual would require individual auditing. This, however, has been entered as a question at this point. Could he be expertly assessed each time? This professional taking a long time at the assessment, you know, just beating the assessment to pieces, really learning the case from scratch the way you'd have to if you were really going to run a whole case, taking maybe an hour or two of assessment, not during the co-auditing period, but calling the person in during the day, charging him for the assessment, and going ahead with a very, very full assessment. So then the professional is actually running the case off of a pre-plotted chart. Now, the case would probably have to be reassessed every couple, 3 weeks if they were only auditing 3 hours a week, you see. The characteristics of the case would change, and it'd have to be reassessed every few weeks. Now, there's a possibility that this being done, co-auditing, would go the whole way. See, there's a possibility of that. But it'd have to be awfully good assessment, and it's certainly not the kind of assessment that could be done on the floor in the co-audit unit. You see, that's just bang. That's very brief. That's something. It really had to be very detailed and had to be very quietly done and so forth. Case really had to be looked at. There's a possibility then that the professional, the skilled auditor who is in charge of the co-audit unit, keeping that person's chart up to date and assessed, and making sure that his co-auditor each time ran the exact button necessary to resolve the case according to the assessment which had been made, that they possibly could make mess clear or even theta clear in a co-auditing unit. It hasn't been done. But certainly this would be done in a co-auditing unit, that the person would get up to a point of being able to study and understand auditing to a point where he could be further trained and then could embark upon an activity of processing people individually up to clearing, or processed and then trained up to a point where he could handle an HAS co-audit unit. You see, this person could be trained up to this professional level, and a bigger unit could then be held, and individual auditing would be available because you'd have more auditors in this particular unit. Some such scheme as this would be quite workable. There are many designs of this character. Right now we are looking at Clear US. We're looking at it. Now all it requires is that Scientologists run as though they meant it, right on up the line, a group, 3 nights a week, that runs on an HAS co-audit. Now, you could run one man, one girl auditing, could actually run a whole HAS co-audit by omitting the PE foundation course, weeks course at the beginning. He'd simply get the people in, and on something on the order of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, would run an HAS course. And on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, would run a co-audit course. You see, he's going to have more people and more stress in the co-audit than in the HAS course, so the Saturday night ought to be the light one. Or he might be able to figure that in his area it should be the other way around and be more successful, but he could, all by his lonesome, run an HAS co-audit, you see. He could wear the HAS course instructor's hat, you see, on three nights, and wear the co-auditor instructor's hat on three nights, and he'd still be making the grade, because he'd want to continue to pass people into HAS and pass them on through into co-audit. He would want his activity to be a continuous activity rather than get a whole bunch of people together and teach them all an HAS course and then take these same people and then get them to co-audit. You know why? He's going to get a lot of these people in co-audit up to release, and he's going to be stuck with some percentage of them who are taking longer. Get the idea? And the next thing you know, he'll wind up teaching a course of four people. He's eventually got it dwindled down to four people. That's all he's got left. And he goes on working at it and starves to death. Now, the nice part of an HAS co-audit course is it's no strain on anybody's pocketbook. You could charge somebody $5, $10, $15 a week to take an HAS course, $5, $10, $15 a week to take a co-audit. And every week they take it, why, they pay in that money. It gives people ample financial security if they can just keep it feeding that way. Now, what do we estimate as a proper size course? Well, if you had 10 people coming into the HAS course every week and proceeding forward for 2 weeks, and then moving into the co-audit course every week, and if your co-audit course was increasing at the rate of 10 people every week, you'd have to find quarters, wouldn't you? You'd have to find help, wouldn't you? Be a lot of hard work, wouldn't it? Well, don't you come back and tell me that you had to teach them all in one lump, because that's the way you're avoiding that other unsolvable problem of where do you get quarters. Because at the rate of 10 a week new people, if you were carrying them on just as far toward clear as you could carry them on, and if you were doing your job well, and if the muzzled character of the auditing was good, and if your assessment of the buttons were very, very accurate, those people would not be dropping out except as they reach release. They get up to a point where they weren't going any further. You never had time to assess them any further, you see, with special assessment. They wouldn't be going any further. They'd be sitting around waiting for some auditing. Now, that sort of thing. That's a dead end, isn't it? That's a dead end. You've got to keep it building up, or it doesn't work for you. Not just for us. You've got to work it up to a point that you've got problems. You understand? And don't tell me how smooth it's going. Don't you dare tell me how smooth an HAS co-audit course is going and how everything is fine in Salt Lake City, where everything's smooth and fine. We have 30 people in the HAS co-audit, and they are getting along fine. And last week we had 30 people, and next week we'll have 30 people, and they're all the same 30 people. And I'll say, three cheers. What are you trying to do? Avoid all the problems? Trying to lose in some way? Trying to slow yourself down to nothing? What are you trying to do? You're trying to be a victim? Because the truth be told, that's the only way you can avoid these horrible problems. Los Angeles is avoiding them very nicely. I haven't yet heard of the Shrine Auditorium being totally converted to take care of HAS co-audit. I have it. They still got it. They're still showing Shriners in it. They're still playing violins out in the Hollywood Bowl every night. Violins. No auditor's written in and said, how the hell are we going to get the Hollywood Bowl? They're arguing and arguing and arguing. We'll be out on Sunset Boulevard next. I'll say, well, fine, buy some barriers and some cops to put up the traffic stops and let's have it. Anything wrong with blocking up Sunset Boulevard? I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, that'll happen if you do even a goofy job of procurement, the way HAS co-audit is tailored today. And I'm not being... That's the sort of problem you should run into with an HAS co-audit. And if you aren't running into those problems, then you're doing something wrong. The muzzled character of the auditing is insufficiently strict, or it's too strict and is busting up the ARC in the group. You see? Too savage, perhaps. Assessments being done are too hunt and punch. They're not even in earnest. PCs are having buttons pushed off on them that they don't even vaguely agree to. You see? And the whole case is being run on a total overwhelm of the PC. There be something real wrong in the way that HAS co-audit's being conducted. And people say, advertising. Now, how are we going to advertise? Well, you can advertise if you want to. I know of three people I was doing. I had the Gallup poll go around and find out if anybody ever read newspapers anymore, and they found three people in Milwaukee were still reading them. And you can go ahead and advertise newspapers if you want to. But what's the matter with you that you can't generate word of mouth in your vicinity? It's the only advertising there is. Well, what we're going to do in HAS co-audit is pointed directly at generating word of mouth, so I won't berate you too much because we haven't had this. If your co-auditing group is successfully run through HAS course, its ability to communicate will improve, right? And it'll talk. And if the processes you are running in the co-audit unit improve people's ability to communicate, they will talk, right? And if you don't omit telling them once in a while to talk, you've got it made. You could stand up, the co-audit unit, and say, all right, we're still fitting in this hall. And we're still fitting in this hall. This hall is still big enough. Let me point out something to you. The hall is still big enough. Next week, I want every one of you to bring in a new person into the HAS course so that we can get out of this hall and use the lobby of the Statler Hilton. See, there's nothing wrong with you doing that either, you know. Nothing wrong with telling them to reach. Please develop a thirst for collision with problems relating to inadequate space. Please develop this so that you snap terminals with these problems, you know. You know, so those problems rush towards you very, very swiftly. You've just been doing fine. You've had the ballroom of the main hotel. There is no bigger hotel room or room of any kind in the town. As a matter of fact, there are very few other rooms even available in the hotel. You've had this filled. It's filling up. And if you turn around and stop the inflow, rather than solve the problem of more space, then you'll have denied yourself the forward pressure, the movement, the whole works. You'll have stopped right there. The second that you say, well, don't bring any more people in, because after all the cases I can supervise are about 4,000, and I'm supervising 4,000 co-audit cases that I don't have hardly anybody to help me at all, and it's all I can do. Don't bring in any more. You tell me you got another 1,000, I can't handle another 1,000. Really, I can't. I can't. Get in that frame of mind, kid. And then go ahead and handle the additional 1,000. How do you do it? Well, you'd grab the people who were closest up to the top and had got along the furthest, and you just put an assistant instructor hat on them. Pull it right down around their ears. And don't try to explain Scientology to them. Just explain exactly what you want them to do in the most painful detail. All right, now, Unit 16, Unit 16, those are the very nervous people. You're going to handle Unit 16, and we price them off. In Unit 16, you're supposed to handle, and they're supposed to be extremely muzzled. Now, exactly what I want you to do, I want you to get the auditing command, and get the auditing command straightened out with this series of questions, write it down on this slip of paper, and hand it to the auditor of the team, and then have him repeat this to the pre-clear and his acknowledgement. All right, you got that. Now, and I want you to go up and down, and any slightest nervousness that you see, or any additional statements that are being made in addition to the auditing command, or any relaxation, unconfronting, the second anybody starts to say anything, I want you to clap your hand over their mouth. You understand? That's what I want you to do. And every time people's hands go back and that sort of thing, and at that point you take a long breath, you know, and take a deep plunge, and you say, do something about it to straighten it out. In desperation, you will be shooting people back to the nearest academy. In desperation, you will be starting up a pre-HCA course of some kind or another, so people could be finished off in a couple of days at an academy. Any kind of an expedient. Who cares as long as it continues forward in orderly progress? Who cares? You understand? Don't worship routine to a point where you say if it gets any bigger, it gets disorderly. Then never get an idea of yourself as being unable to control that much disorder. Just make up your mind right now that you can control any degree of disorder, any place, at any time. And that'd be the easiest postulate in the world to make because it happens to be true. And you're kidding yourself and you're kidding me when you say you can't. Well, I'll play along with you and audit you up to a point where even you believe it. Now, there's the shape and size of an HAS co-audit. There's the shape and size of one. It can succeed. It doesn't really need super special advertising. It doesn't need anything at all except somebody to really run one and run one extremely well. And running one extremely well, it itself is its own drawing card and its own advertising medium. And here at the Congress, we'll give you some clues of this, and of course, after the Congress, we're giving a whole 6 weeks devoted flat out to exactly how you do this, but I'm not trying to give you a come on now because there will be one or two of you, I hope not, who won't be on that course. I want you to take a real good look at this as an intense possibility, and then you figure out that if you've got two new people a week onto your HAS course and they move through onto co-audit, you figure it out mathematically, and that there were 1,000 of you, you figure it out mathematically how long it would take to bring the U.S. up to a state of release, and how many people would have to be pulled off sideways and trained up further to finish off, and how long it would take to make the whole U.S. clear. You'd surprise yourself with such mathematics. I'll let you figure that out. Right now, I do think we're agreed on one thing, however, aren't we? Is it worth doing?
Yes.
All right.